Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. We are on day three of our education article. My name is Brandon, and I have Ellen and Catherine back in the studio. Welcome, panelists.
Thanks. Hi, Brandon.
Yeah, it's great to have you both here in the studio today. We are talking about the School of Human Ecology, and I want to do a brief review. We've already talked about this for 2 days, but maybe you were not able to join us, so we want to have a brief review. I'm going to start with Catherine. What is something that you have learned over the past couple of days?
Well, I really liked getting a clearer definition of human ecology. I've always only ever heard the word ecology, which is the study of nature and how it relates to its environment. So I liked knowing that there's this whole other field of human ecology. And like we learned the first day, that's where they're studying the interaction between humans and their own environment, the things that make us happy, the things that make us tick.
Okay, and Ellen?
Well, I like that this course or this major really focuses on helping the human society or human community. And on March 3rd, we saw that, you know, the students are getting to work with real life people who are in remote locations that may or may not have access to a lot of things that we might take for granted, like running water. But that through this partnership that they have an opportunity to maybe help themselves.
Okay. Well, I want to ask the panelists something. If you were in college, would you want to enroll in the School of Human Ecology? Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't, or maybe you would like to just take some classes in this school. What do you think, Catherine?
I think I would have to take a few classes before I really committed to it. I feel like it would be very, very interesting to learn, but I also think that there's certain things that it's okay to learn out in the, quote, real world. You know, okay. I don't know if I need to go and major in this to be okay. You know, like, I didn't learn some of these things in college, but I've managed so far. So I don't know if I would want that to be my only focus for my major.
All right. How about you, Ellen?
I think I'm very similar to Catherine. I think that, yeah, I don't know if I would necessarily pay, you know, a class tuition to learn some of these skills, because I think, you know, life teaches you many of these skills. But, you know, as Catherine mentioned, some of them seem very interesting and would be a good opportunity or a good experience. But, yeah, I don't know if I would major in it.
I think for me it depends on which area you're talking about within the school. If you're talking about the design aspect, I think it makes a lot of sense because you're actually doing a lot of things that will help you in the future. For example, when I looked at the video about the coffee shop that I mentioned, I believe on the first day, that a lot of the students were actually involved with running that coffee shop. And that's very practical because that's a business. And so you get that business perspective. You get that hands-on experience. It's kind of like you're doing a continual internship or something, right? And so I think that is very practical. But on the other hand, if you're learning something about raising children or some financial life skills, those things you might be able to learn from your parents, or you might just take a class or two. And so I think it really depends on what you want to do. But I do love the idea when it comes to design and business because of the hands-on experience. Because I'm the type of person, I don't like to just learn about theories. I want the practical side of things. And I believe we talked about on the first day, Catherine, you were a journalism major. I was also a journalism major, and you get some hands-on experience, and that helps you and when you get into the workforce, right?
Definitely. I mean, you know, without that experience in college, I don't think I would have done having to do it outside of college would have been very, very scarier than it already was.
That's right.
Having that prior experience was definitely helpful to me.
Okay, well, we've done a bit of a review concerning the topic here, but I also want to review some of the words that we've learned or talked about over the past couple of days. And so, Ellen, what's a word that you want to remind our listeners about?
Well, I like this this word cross-discipline. I think overall theme of this article, or at least for me, an overall theme is that this idea of teamwork, right? Having different students who focus on different things working together to find solutions for problems that, you know, we as people face every day. So cross-discipline just meaning taking or using more than two subjects or two groups of people and integrating them together.
Okay. And Catherine, do you have a word for us?
I think I really like the idiom ahead of one's time. Back on the first day, they were saying that human ecology is a name that's ahead of its time. And if something is ahead of its time, that just means that it's very, very modern. And, you know, these days we're always talking about technology, and they keep coming up with these pieces of technology that are ahead of its time. You know, there's something that we kind of envisioned for this crazy, very modern future, but it's happening now. And so I liked that phrase the best.
Okay, thanks, Catherine. And also on day one, we had the phrase front and center, and that is an idiom. It's talking about the most important spot within a specific situation. And in this context, they're talking about humans, putting humans front and center. And they're talking about family, children, and communities, but they're talking about the focus is on people, and that's why it's called the School of Human Ecology, talking about what are some problems that humans have and how can we design things to help them. Or we also can think about financial situation. What are some situations? What are the life skills, the financial life skills that you need to learn? How do you raise children? All of these things are associated with humans. And so we're all humans. And so this is very practical, right? And so there really is a lot of practical advice here. And I hope that as you read this article, maybe if you're thinking about going to college or getting ready to go to college, you can maybe think about taking a course or two related to finances, or, you know, maybe something to do with raising children or any of these areas that you might be interested in, or you can do some more research on your own to find out more about this topic. Well, we are on day three of our education article. So if you have your magazines in front of you, go ahead and open up to page 18, and we're going to have our first reading for today.
They scheduled a financial night at the end of each academic quarter. That's when she was expected to present her financial picture and budget for the next quarter, and to have mapped out her plans for the summer. It was looking at her life management as opposed to money, Shim said. Now 25, Shim's daughter works in supply chain management in Chicago. She has a 5-year plan to pay off her $60,000 student loan debt, and she lives frugally.
All right, we begin today by looking at Soyeon Shim and her family. And yesterday we were talking about how Miss Shim, she went to America. She was from Korea and she moved to America. And she had a rough time, but she overcame those problems. And she was actually passing on what she learned to her daughter. And we learned yesterday that her daughter needed to pay 20% of her college bill, right?
That's right. And so yesterday we also learned that because she's supposed to pay that amount of the cost of going to the University of Chicago, they told her daughter to research different types of loans, and then she had to present what she thought would be the best option to her mom and dad.
And we see here at the top of page 18, they scheduled a financial night at the end of each academic quarter. And so they had a meeting where they came together to discuss the finances of their daughter. What was she expected to do, the daughter? What was she expected to do during this time?
She was expected to present her financial picture and budget for the next quarter, and also to have mapped out her plans for the summer.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of responsibility for a college student, doesn't it, Catherine?
It really does. But it's pretty cool that, you know, she can do this. Then she can start learning about budgeting. I know budgeting is a hard thing for many people.
Yes.
I'm really bad at budgeting, so.
It's really difficult to think about budgeting, to have the desire to budget. and to know how to budget your money and to use finances appropriately. Well, she had to map out a plan, right? She had to get everything together and map it out.
Right. You know, not only was she expected to provide her parents with her financial picture for the next semester, for the next year, she was also expected to map out or to make plans for her summer, which is something that a lot of students maybe don't think about until summer is almost here. So it was a lot of, there was a lot of forethought put into it, and her parents kind of forcing her to think ahead.
Okay, and Shim said that it was looking at her life management as opposed to money. And so they're thinking about their daughter's life, and they have the money. They could have paid for her college bill completely, but they want her to learn how to manage her life. It's not really about the money, is it?
Exactly. I think in this case, learning how to plan out certain aspects of your life is more important than knowing how to work with the money. I think during the summer, a lot of students just kind of hang out, but you know, a lot of times there are productive things that you could be doing during the summer, like getting an internship or finding some sort of part-time job, and that's something that you have to plan for, which is what that dean was trying to pass on to her daughter, that planning ahead is always a good idea.
And they're not just telling her every little thing that she should do. You know, they're letting her be a part of it. She's doing the research. They're not doing all the research and then saying, hey, you need to do this. They're allowing her to take ownership, which I think is very important in the, I guess, the child-parent relationship. You know, especially at this age, they have to begin to take on some responsibilities, so they don't expect you to do everything as a parent, but they begin to take that on and see that, you know, they are responsible, and also that, hey, that they can do this, that they don't have to have their parents doing everything for them, right? And so it is all about the life management. How old, Ellen, is the daughter now?
The daughter is now 25, and she works in Chicago as a supply chain in a supply chain management position.
Okay, and supply chain is the system of people and things that are involved in getting a product from the place where it is made to the person who buys it. So you see there the idea of a chain, that there's a chain involved. And so she's in a management position there in Chicago, and she has a five-year plan. And when I read that, I'm like, oh, do I have a five-year plan? Do I want a five-year plan? We hear this a lot, actually. People will ask you, what's your five-year plan? And it's a term that people use a lot, right? And it can be kind of a scary thought, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think, especially recently, this idea has almost gone the opposite direction, in that I feel like I read a lot of articles online recently telling people in their 20s, like, you don't need to have this five-year plan, that you should take every opportunity. And that's a great sentiment. I think it's good to be open to opportunities, and, you know, maybe you do go a different direction than you intended. But I also do think that it is important to have some sort of idea of what you want your future to look like.
Yeah, I think it's important to have goals, and you can have a five-year plan, but be open to changing it, you know, at least to some degree. It's not set in stone. And so I think the idea is to have some goals in mind, but maybe you don't have to stick to every part of the plan, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, just think about when you drive from one place to another, you kind of have a general idea of which route you're going to take, which roads, highways. And so, you know, as you said, even in a road trip, you are more than welcome to kind of take, you know, detours, kind of go visit different things. But at the end of the day, you generally still need that map of where you're going.
And sometimes you take a turn down the wrong street and the GPS has to recalculate, right? So sometimes we have to recalculate. We maybe do the wrong thing, but we just get back on the right path, right? Well, we see here that she has a five-year plan to pay off her $60,000 student loan debt. That's a lot of money, isn't it, Catherine?
That is a ton of money, and it kind of makes my stomach turn a little bit to think that that's only 20% of what it costs to go to the University of Chicago.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
Yes, it is scary. And we see that she lives frugally. I guess you would have to live frugally, right? Because you have to pay back the student loan. What does it mean to live frugally?
Right. Live frugally just means you don't spend money on things you don't need. So some of us, maybe we like you know, the new iPhone, we like new computers or TVs, but to live frugally means you don't really buy into those unless you absolutely need it.
Okay, and when you're in college, most of the time you will have to live frugally because maybe you don't have a job or maybe you don't make a lot of money even if you do have a job. Okay, well, we want to also focus on the process. We're going to learn more about a new course that has been created within the School of Human Ecology. Let's learn about that in our final reading for this article.
Focus on process. Following the same idea, the school launched a course to teach financial life skills, inspired, in part, by findings of a study following young adults from their college years to workforce, which Shin led while at the University of Arizona. That study found 50% of the more than 1,000 participants continued to rely on their family for financial support after finishing school. Financial instability is delaying normal development of young adults and their ability to achieve financial goals, Shim concluded. A college education needs to be much more than an education. The timing of it is so essential. You only have one window of opportunity to develop habits, she said. We can no longer say our job is to give them a degree. There has to be balance to translate it into an opportunity. The new financial life skills course covers emotions and money, strategic spending plans and budgeting, reasonable credit card and student loan debt, building savings, informed signing of apartment leases and paying taxes, among other topics. Another class in the school, designed by professors from six disciplines, we'll explore why it's important to complete college on time and delve into financial management and romantic relationships. It's empowering them to think about designing their life, Shim said.
Okay, so we're following the same idea, okay, and we see here that the school launched a course to teach financial life skills, which I can imagine that a lot of students would want to learn this because we live in a society, you know, many parts of the world, you know, have this issue where they just want instant gratification, you know, they want it. Things right now, and sometimes you just buy things and you don't need it, and then you have to pay it off. And so you have to learn some things about finances. Well, we see that this course was inspired by a study, right, Catherine?
That's right. And the study found, or it followed young adults from their college years to the workforce. And whenever you enter the workforce, that's just saying that you got a job, you got your first job. And actually, Shim, the dean of the university, was actually the person who led the study when she was, I guess she was working at the University of Arizona.
That's right. Yes. And so, you know, they did this study and they found that 50% of more than 1,000 participants continue to rely on their family for financial support. And now maybe some of you are listening or saying, oh, I'm in that 50%. I don't know. But of course, this can be an issue. It can maybe cause problems within the family, or maybe it doesn't really, you know, maybe your parents don't mind so much, but it's probably not the best thing, right? You need to have that financial independence. And so, panelists, have you ever, you know, what do you think about this situation? Let's just ask that question. I want to ask you if you've been in that situation, but what do you think about this situation in general?
I feel like recently in America, it's become very, very common for this to happen. And students graduate and they go back home. And part of that might be because they don't know how to take care of their finances, but it's also part of the bigger problem of trying to find a job. And, you know, I have like four or five friends at home who can't find jobs.
Yes.
And they're at home. And, yeah, it could go either way. It's either financial instability or the whole economy.
Right. It can be really rough. It's really tough for a lot of people. And of course, I think it's one thing if you, you know, you're out of a job all of a sudden and you need some extra help for a while to get back on your feet. That's one thing. But there's another thing. Maybe if you're, you know, you're finished with college and then, maybe you have a job, but you're still staying with your parents. You know, that's a different, you know, set of circumstances. So we really have to think, you know, what's the best, and at what point do you have to kind of cut those financial ties off from your parents, right?
Right, exactly. You know, I think over time, maybe in the last century, we've gone from where, you know, people left home at 20 some odd years old and they never went back, where to now, you know, we're facing a financial recession or financial difficult environment, but that has somehow been exacerbated by the fact that all these college graduates just are returning home and kind of never leaving.
Okay, you used a really big word there, an advanced word there. Ellen, what is the meaning of exacerbated?
Exacerbated just means to make the situation worse.
Okay.
Has not helped it.
Okay. Well, what is financial instability doing, Catherine?
It is delaying the normal development of young adults and their ability to achieve financial goals. So what she's kind of saying there is that the longer that you do have to rely on your parents for support, the harder and harder it is for you to be financially independent.
Okay, and the word instability here, the meaning is the condition of being likely to change, especially unexpectedly. So if our financial situation changes unexpectedly, or we're not stable, our finances are not stable, it can cause problems. Here, she is saying that we don't, our students are not developing as they should into young adults, and they're not achieving the financial goals that they should be achieving, right? And so she goes on to say a college education needs to be what?
Much more than an education. So the timing of it, she says, is very, very essential. And so what she means here is that you will get an education in college and you'll learn your school things that you need to learn, but you're also going to get like a life education.
I love it. I love that. That it needs to be about life, right?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not just about studying things in class about theories and so forth, because you need to learn about life as well. So it's a very holistic approach, and I love that about what's going on here in the School of Human Ecology. And she says here, that Shim says it's a window of opportunity to develop habits. And she goes on to say, we can no longer say our job is to give them a degree. There has to be balance to translate it into an opportunity. Many, many, many people have degrees, but do they have the jobs that they want? So she's saying we want our students to have these opportunities to get good jobs.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like you said, Brandon, many people have the degree, so that means that many people have the same qualifications. And so kind of what one of the things that they're trying to teach here is they're trying to give these students the skills to make them stand out from other students, you know, show that they can shine brighter at a job or do better at a job because they've learned some of these teamwork or critical thinking skills that they need.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think this particular, you know, part of the reading or the article reminds me of this just the saying, opportunity knocks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunity isn't always there. It's something that will come once in a while, and these students need to have the skills to really capture that opportunity to develop it into a job, into a successful life.
Okay, well, this new financial life skills course covers many areas, doesn't it? We see that it covers emotions and money and other things as well.
Yes, it also covers strategic spending plans and budgeting, reasonable credit card and student loan debt, building your savings. Oh, I like this one. Informed signing of apartment leases and paying your taxes, too.
Ooh, paying taxes. A lot of people need help with that. It's very complicated in the U.S., at least, to file your taxes. So that would be a super helpful class. And so we see here that you can learn a lot about life and things that you need to know about life, especially after college. Well, there is another class in the school, and it's designed by professors from six disciplines. And what will it explore?
It will explore why it's important to complete college on time and also delve into financial management and romantic relationships.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot going on there. It's funny to me that you need something to tell you about completing college on time. I would think most people would know that's important, but maybe they're helping you to know how to do that, right? What you need to do in order to complete college on time. And of course, financial management, we talked about that a lot already. But this one about romantic relationships. Panelists, would you want to take a class in college about romantic relationships?
I don't even really know why. I think they're just maybe they're trying to talk about the importance of relationship and how it, mm-hmm. you know, good relationships, not just romantic, but also friendship relationships mm-hmm. and your family relationships and relationships with your coworkers. All of those really affect your day-to-day life. And so maybe they're just trying to talk about how you really need to be aware of that. And here's what it can do for you.
Okay.
Yeah, or even just having healthy relationships mm-hmm. yeah. with people. You know, we, as Catherine said, we have relationships all over the place, all around us, but sometimes some of them aren't the healthiest
That's
relationships.
Right. Well, as we end our article, Shim says, it's empowering them to think about designing their life. So all of this that we've been talking about in the School of Human Ecology, it's really empowering the students to just think about what's going on in their lives and how to map out a plan for their lives. And so, of course, the word empowering means to encourage them or support them. So that's what these classes are meant to do. We hope that you have enjoyed this month's education article, and you can go and do more research, and also you can check out our topic talks videos. There at the top of page 16, you will see 4 QR codes. Check them all out to get some extra information about this topic. Well, until next time, this is Brandon,
Catherine,
Ellen,
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.